Blog Talk Radio.
Let's go. Yeah. Ghetto children singing. See, they eager to learn. How to become the next world leaders. Brave hearts, revolutionary warfare, warfare, love and war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, love and war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Book one, strategy, tactics, techniques. Look dumb, but massively notice the weakness in all them. Gotta shoot only if necessary. Homie, vestige is very real if enemies carrying heavy steel. Beware the thugs who ain't scared of blood or jail time. When Aryan nations ain't having integration, we so blind to beauty of life. But when my mom said, nigga, you could be Christ, I wasn't old enough to hold my dick and pee right. Jesus, what is he like? I picture him standing with diamonds on him, little different from the way my mommy saw him. Practice your aiming, physical training and difficult terraining. Test your endurance, try to keep your stamina banging, splitting duchess up, strap up. The army's a school, teaching smart ways to kill. I'm thinking Gandhi was a fool, the chronic's a fool. Got me thinking out loud, fuck it. Sleep on my drunkenness, I'll blow your brains out. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, love and war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, love and war for the cause. I gotta take you off here.
My revolution is as real as Bobby Seals I build. With dudes and Chris worth a quarter mil and Dick's Hill. For fish gills and cop guns, the time come. I mask up and get my comrade off the bus. Fuck the beef, I snatch a seed from Chuck E. Cheese and feed them to the rats in the back of the peas. Black fatigue and off the scenes on a sofa. 50-inch flat screen, Louis Vuitton holster. My motions don't appeal to a Pella division. I did it strong for 7 long years in prison. Fuck the system, I'm like a modern day Hitler. Black gorilla, crib and blood and one nigga. Only killers know my face. I be the case for shooting at the police. Nigga, the name Lake goes simultaneously with street revolution. 21 gun salute the new Huey
Newton. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, love and war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, love and war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Teach our woman how to hold a family down in case something happens to us fathers. Protect the children, grab revolvers. The woman plays an important part of our life force of what we fight for. My heart goes to you, beautiful wife in war.
And listen more and talk less. Watch all and trust none. Demand your respect and be ready to die for what you believe in. And ride all the time, not just when convenient.
Justice and freedom, wisdom and understanding. We the lost children of Israel in this Western world region. You ain't a man, you a coward if you can't support the girl you put a seed in.
Strong rule the weak, but the wise rule the strong. It's more to a war than just getting it on. Seal your form, cover your tracks, stay prepared. I don't care, no one's spared.
Revolutionary warfare, warfare, love and war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, love and war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, love and war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, love and war for the cause. I gotta take you off here.
Free the land, Rev. Sharon Grid. Welcome to another edition of the George Jack University Radio Show. I'm one of your hosts, Bumon Shakir. I'll be joined with my fellow co-host, Akin Bekele. Before I bring in our guest tonight, I'm going to go a couple of things that we actually stand for. That's an old documentation. It's called What the Republic of Africa Believes. One, that the exploitation and oppression of blacks in North America by whites in North America has entered a more vicious and visible stage. Two, blacks in North America are in serious danger of extermination like the Native Americans. Three, African-born in America can't survive and liberate ourselves if we understand that our problem was created by all-white government, USA, and is being continued by all-white government. Four, individuals or organizations, no matter how rich or large, cannot wage a correct struggle for survival and liberation against the United States government. Five, we can only survive and liberate ourselves by becoming real black nationalists and building ourselves a nation that will be able to wage the correct struggle for our survival and liberation. Six, we should be the one to determine our own destiny This is known as self-determination. 7, that we must stand ready. Hold on. That we must stand ready to defend ourselves against our enemy by any means necessary. 8, we must support all liberation struggles and the liberation in general of the African continent. The economic needs of our nation will be met and profit will be shared equally. 10, Virginia government wants all black people to help us make the Republic of Africa the black nation, a nation that will govern black people. To the manifest and keep it alive, you know. You know, this show tonight is based upon information and propagation. So we'll be talking to the Ministry of Information. So we have on our show tonight Deputy Ministers Melly Queen, Zuma New Afrique, Bob Messiah Hosey, and Kamasi Amin. About to open all their lines up. Hold up. Okay. I'm about to open their lines up right now so they can introduce themselves. Okay, all y'all lines are open. Free land.
Free land. How y'all doing tonight?
Free land. Doing well, sister. By the mean necessary. Okay. Okay. So everybody's here. Kamasi, Bob Messiah, Melly Queen, and Zuma. All y'all are here. Okay. Is everybody here?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Okay. Yes, ma'am. You know, before we get into this, everybody tell the little people about themselves. Who they are. Live about yourself before we get into this. You know?
Okay, well, I guess I'll start. I'm our Deputy Minister, Melly Queen. I am a conscious working citizen in the Ida B. Wells District. I have been Secretary of the PCC, the People's Center Council, since December of 2020, and I'll be a new African Conscious Working Citizen for 2 years in December. I am Deputy Minister of Information. I have been holding down this position for a year and a little change. And I am the head African in charge and the founder of the Truth and Power Corp with Sister Melly Queen. We air every Friday at 5 p.m. Central. We have also started the New African Broadcast Association, NABA. We have a radio station, a page, and we are also spreading the propaganda of the New African. So I yield right there.
Okay. Go ahead.
Free the land. This is Brother Zoom.
By the means, sir.
Hi, I'm Brother Zoom. You are free. I'm Deputy Minister of the PGRNA, Deputy Minister of Information of the PGRNA. I've been a conscious New African citizen since 2004. I came into the movement. Baba Khalid and Baba Hamid and the New African Liberation Front, and I've been involved ever since.
Okay.
Is it me next?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, assalamu alaikum and free the land. Okay, my name is Messiah Hosey, Deputy Minister of Information with the Provisional Government. And actually, I've been with the Ministry of Information several times. Former New African prisoner of war. I've been, what you could call a conscious New African citizen since the early 1970s. I'm currently also on the National Advisory Board for the Jericho Amnesty Movement for Political Prisoners and Prisoners of War. I'm also on the National Membership Work Group for a group called Critical Resistance. Actually, I've been with them since we formed the national organization. That's an organization committed to abolishing the prison industrial complex within, abolishing the prison industrial complex, period. I think I should say most importantly for me, though, of course, I am a Muslim, but I'm also part of Masjid al-Kaaba and part of a body, I guess you could say, under the leadership of Abdullah Malik Kaaba. And I just hesitate on that leadership thing because the state likes to play that off in a negative way. But I'm part of that body headed by Abdullah Malik Kaaba, also known as Jeff Fort. And actually, I've been with that body for about 30 years. And it becomes very important for me because actually that informs all the other work that I actually do. And with that, I yield.
Okay. You can go ahead, Kamasi. Brother Kamasi.
You can't hear me?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Did you hear anything?
No, I didn't hear anything. You know what I'm saying? Your phone over me, I didn't hear anything at all.
Oh, okay. All right. I was talking for a good 30 seconds. My bad. All right. Yeah. Peace, brothers and sisters. My name is Kamasi Amin, operating out of Atlanta, Georgia, originally placed in Montgomery, Alabama, in the United States of America. I'm a part of the Ministry of Information for the PGRNA. I organized with an organization in Atlanta, Georgia called Community Movement Builders, and we are trying to advance towards a liberated zone. We base our philosophy on the Amilcar Cabral's understanding of a liberated zone theory and how that moves in the direction of sovereignty, or as we may place it, a nation state or a nation without a state, however we want to consider it. But I'm just happy to be here tonight to speak with everyone and just to bounce some ideas off of each other, bounce some ideals, and also some ideology as well, theories as well. So I thank everybody for having me.
True indeed. I want to thank you all for the work you did in the past, the present, the future. I thank you for coming to the broadcast. My next question is, if you have an African name, what does this mean? What does your name mean, and why do you have that name in particular? Okay, the floor is open.
Free the land, brother Zumbi. Zumbi New Afrique. I took the name Zumbi New Afrique approximately 4 years ago. Before the name Zumbi, I was known throughout the community as Khalil Shabazz. I took that name because I came into the movement initially through the Nation of Islam when I was incarcerated back in the 90s. And that started my process of learning knowledge itself. And the evolution from there was getting to the New African Independence Movement. And through that process, I just learned a lot. And I didn't practice Islam as I used to, so I felt it was probably best to change my name to basically make the position of where I am in my life right now and where I'm trying to go. And I took the name Zumbi. He represents Zumbi of Palmeiras in Brazil, and he was a new African freedom fighter. I consider them that. They were a revolutionary during the time of the Portuguese slave trade in Brazil. And they fought and moved to the mountains and set up their own nation state and combined all the different African languages along with the languages of the natives at that period and the Portuguese, and created their own situation as we're trying to do in the New York Independent Movement. And so that's why I took the name Zumbi, 98.
Okay.
Frieda Land, I guess I'll go next. I took my name during the process of being a part of the New African Independence Movement. And it was, for me, an understanding where I recognized that it was important to divorce myself from Euro-colonialism in all aspects of my life, even as an identity marker. For what I wanted to be called by, how I wanted to show up in the world. Because as we know, that words hold energy. And so, like, what you answer to in terms of your name is going to hold a certain type of energy. My name is Kamasi Amin. And if we know anything about Ghana, we know that Ghana has essentially two capitals. One is Accra, but the other is, like, the industrial center or the economic or commercial port, which is Kumasi. And the history or the story, the legacy behind it goes that there was a chief that gathered, well, he planted three trees. And I forget the names of the other trees, but there was one tree that he planted and it did not grow at all. And there was one tree that he planted and it just grew a gang of short trees. And one tree that he planted that grew to be huge and tall and provided shade for his people. And that was the tree that he chose to sit under. And that's what Kumasi means. Kumasi means to sit under the kum tree. Amin, of course, we know is Arabic for faithful. So, like, the next logical step in understanding that process is that Kumasi Amin literally means loyal to my tree, which if we understand the proverb or the symbol of a tree, it also means people, the tree of life. So I'm loyal to my people. And that's not a name that I recognize as, like, being who I am at the moment in all aspects of my life. That's not a name that I recognize as being symbolic of who I've always been, but a name that I recognize as who I aspire to be once my life is ended. Whether it ends tomorrow or it ends 100 years from now, I want to be remembered as somebody that was loyal to their people. So I advise everyone. I don't think that is entirely necessary. Of course, we know there's folks who take an African name who don't have an African brain at all. Their goals are not oriented towards the development of African people. Just like there's folks who wear naturals who don't, or wear dashikis who aren't oriented towards the development and liberation of African people. I feel like if you believe in your heart that what you stand for is for the liberation and revolution of African people, then you can do whatever you want. But as far as I stand and my posture, I thought it would be hard for me to try to represent something but not in my entirety be divorced from what I am exactly against, and I yield there.
Okay. 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 Who's next?
Who you got left? Okay. Well, I can go. And mine will briefly. Actually, Maasai actually just came from a tribe on the continent. Ehe Hosi was actually your name. It was actually came when I was with a collective, and that was, well, that was like something like 45 years ago. And it was two different meanings. And one meaning, it was above the people's trust, meant in a good way, and the other one was above the people's justice, also meant in a good way. Actually, at the time, well, about 5 years later, the thought was in my mind to change the name. But then what ended up happening, it was because it started being on so many documents, and I had got married in that name and had done so many things in that name that I ended up continuing to use it. A name I also use, and that's also on some documents, is actually Abdullah Masai Kaba. But because folks know Messiah Hosea, and like I said, because of so many things in that name, I've just continued to carry on. And that's a short explanation.
Okay. 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 Let me see. Hold up. Okay. Well, so you got an African name?
Okay, you just hear me speak up. You know Mary Queen is not an African name, but I am going to get one. I'm going to ask Mama Ayo, Queen Mother Ayo, and Sister Saul to help me out with this. But no, I'm not an African name. Okay.
Okay. Okay, we appreciate that. I'm going to have one more question. I'm going to pass the Minister Akin. From your own understanding, everyone, what is a conscious new African citizen? What is that? What exactly is that from your own understanding and experiences?
Well, I guess I'll go first. From my understanding and what I'm learning from my unit study and from the queen that brought me in, being a new African, is loving my people and wanting nation building and repairing for our people. We need to get back on track here, do what we need to do. So that's my understanding as of now, and I am learning in the process. As being a deputy minister, I'll be glad when we start our political education class, because this one area I am lacking in is political part and the scientific, you know, political part of it. So I want to learn it and come all around, you know, way around it in my studies and different things I'm trying, I'm doing. And I yield.
I appreciate that. Appreciate that honesty, sister. Who's next? I think Brother Zuma fell off, I believe. I don't see his number anymore. So yeah, Kamasi and Bob Messiah.
I'll take it from here, because I feel like Bob Messiah is going to offer a little bit more information than the rest of us, given that he's been with the PGRNA so long. Definitely he's going to drop some gems that I'm not going to drop, so I'm going to go ahead and spill mine. But my understanding, I feel like a conscious new African citizen, I'm in alignment with everything Sister Queen Melly has said already. It's just somebody that is working for the liberation of African people here in the confines of the Settler Project of America, but also working for global pan-African revolution. And, of course, we can consider these to have different tendencies, like we don't all believe the same ideological tenets, but we are in constant struggle together to try to find the best conclusion that will help to liberate us from the chains of Americanism, you know. So anybody that is driven by propaganda, like propaganda of the word and propaganda of the deed, like somebody that is constantly speaking about new Africanism and constantly performing the work of new Africanism, which in that definition I think holds the grounds of you are leading whatever cluster or group that you are surrounded by towards liberation as you see it. I do think that, you know, moving forward, we got to find a way to, like, establish some national definitions that are, like, spread out throughout the entire populace so that we all come to some type of general conclusion outside of just, like, the fact that we need sovereignty, we have to understand more about certain, like, political definitions, like Sister Queen Melly was saying. But just on a fundamental level, a rudimentary level, to be a conscious new African citizen is to recognize that after 400 years, waiting on America to give you your freedom is naivety. And waiting on America to even just grant you any type of dignity, even grant you any type of, like, politeness, grant you any type of smile is naivety. And so we now see that it's important for us to take up this mantle of self-determination, and that will come up under the umbrella of the PGRNA. Now you're there.
Okay. I appreciate that.
Okay, well, if I'm the next one, then, and it might surprise you, actually, my answer isn't really going to be longer. I had this discussion with someone earlier today about this, and I actually agree with both of what was said before me. I can agree with that. I think one of the things is that, like, a conscious New African, like, I would agree that it's someone that's aware of their rights, the right to self-determination, the right to independence. It's that part where we get into the question of someone who actually strives for independence, though. I mean, it would seem like, well, sometimes it used to seem like if someone said they were a conscious New African, that it meant that they were involved or, you know, seeking to be involved in that struggle for independent New Africa. But, you know, I think there's a lot of folks out there now who they can run down the creed to you, they can run down the code of, they can run down so many things to you. But when it comes down, are they actually working towards independence? No. They're not opposed to it, but they're not actually working towards it. So sometimes that's one of the things where sometimes I might answer that question with a question. I mean, what is somebody talking about? I think, though, yeah, it should be a lot of those things that were said, and it may be all of those things. But like I said, I know a lot of folks who, you know, the goal of independence just isn't there. They're just aware of the fact that we do have a right as a people.
Okay. I appreciate that. This more up in the past. Minister Akin Bekele, so he can take this show further. And I appreciate y'all. Hold up.
Free the land. It's good to be on the show with my comrades this evening. Thank you all for being here, and I really do appreciate your time. Just jumping right in, I wanted to ask each of you briefly, tell us about how you became a conscious citizen. You know, a lot of times everyone has different situations or different scenarios that happen in their life to make them come into consciousness of New Africa. So if you all would, just give a brief explanation of how you all started on this journey for New Africa.
I guess I'll go first again. my journey started in December of 2020. My sister Saul, Madam President Saul, called and asked that I want to be secretary. Mind you, I did not know what the job entailed because it's not an easy job. People may think, but it's not. But my sister asked me, and I was interested in the PGRNA, and I wanted to find out more. So how, you know, best way to find out more is to work in. So she asked me, I said, okay. And I have enjoyed the journey, the learning that I'm getting from everybody, the elders, my comrades in the ministry. I'm on the path of I'm just trying to build a nation for our children. Our babies need something other than what they have now. And I yield.
I can go next. It was actually Brother Bomani that scooped me up. You know, I was in D.C. organizing 2016, 2017, actually 2015 to 2018, but seriously organizing around 2017 on campus at Howard University. And I met Brother Bomani at a prison rally where a lot of different organizations from across the country were speaking. Of course, representatives from MOVE were there, representatives from the PGRNA were there, and I don't know, like, I forget, he can tell the story better than I, because, like, my brain, even though I'm young, is, like, a lot of things are blurred to me, but just spotted out the crowd, we struck up a conversation. I heard of the PGRNA, of course, in my studies around this time when I'm struggling, like, I'm moving around a bunch of circles that practice, like, either communist ideals or anarchist ideals, just overall socialist ideals, you know what I'm saying? Moving around a lot of Pan-Africanists, moving around revolutionary nationalists. And so these different legacies of movements are springing up in conversation and also in our group study when we're trying to, like, draw greater conclusions from studying particular revolutionary movements. But he helped me place, like, faces to names in the sense where, like, I come from a generation where we're taught that, like, everything that happened was so long ago. Even now, when you look back at those old photos, they don't put them in color because they want to make the younger generation feel like it's in black and white. So obviously it happened 200 years ago when really I was just talking to my partner today about how Malcolm X's daughter is the same age as my mother. So just placing that in the context of the way that I was trying to, like, process these things. But Brother Bomani helped me to be introduced to these different narratives and just, like, the movement in general, telling me things that I need to go read, and I would read and come back and talk to him and whatnot. And eventually around, this was probably about 2017, I heard about it since 2015, around 2017, 2018, I was like, I'm down now. And in 2020, when Brother Bomani was elected to be the Minister of Information, he asked me, you want to be one of my deputies? And so I was like, yeah, let's make that happen. So I'm glad to serve and glad to propagandize our movement towards national liberation, and I'm going to continue to do that even after I'm out of this position. And I yield there.
So I guess that would be me next.
Yes, sir, Bob.
Okay, and the question is?
The question is, tell us what made you get started to on the road to become a conscious New African citizen. What happened in your life, or what started your journey down the road of becoming a conscious New African citizen?
Okay. It's been like I was saying before, like that thing, like the conscious New African. I believe for me, actually, in a lot of ways, and I'm gonna have to say, like, actually, it was more like involvement in the New African Independence Movement that more or less reached me more than the conscious New African, and. I mean, cause the land thing is like, you know, land is, of course, concrete. And then to think about independence, and then it was more like to think about independence, to write independence, to struggle for it. It was like it just kicked off something in the brain that made even that thing about even talking about being a New African for real. It had made that whole thing about talking about a conscious New African real. But it's like, and possibly because I've just seen people who I've been around some stuff so long, I've just seen people who throw the words out there, and that's all cool, but I don't think the spirit of, like, the independence movement is there. And for me, that's the important thing. I just don't want to say, like, you know, I'm a conscious New African citizen, and, like, again, what does that really mean? I don't even know what that would really mean for me, you know, without the relationship to the New African Independence Movement. And I think, like, because I was looking at the creed again, and actually the creed would be a document I'm going to mention when you get to another question. And, you know, and, like, just even a few things like that. Can I read something from that, or is that too long? Okay, well, you said I can. Okay, and this is just a little thing. Like, I believe that the fundamental reason our oppression continues, that we as a people lack the power to control our lives. I believe that the fundamental way to gain that power and end oppression is to build a sovereign black nation. I'm just reading a little bit from the creed, but, like, those things, like, they become, like, a little bit more concrete to me. And so, like, that's again, that's the way I kind of approach that conscious new African thing. Because I know some folks that can throw the slogans out there, and, like I said, can say a lot of stuff, and that's all cool, but I don't know whether it really means that much to me and what impact that actually has on other folks if they ain't seeing no work that's connected to it. Now, once that connection is made with the independence movement and stuff, it's like, then it's a little bit different when folks are talking about, you know, like, why they doing it, you know, and that thing about being a new African citizen and conscious of what that really means. Being conscious of the obligation that imposes on them. And I don't know whether that makes any sense for y'all, but that's a little bit where I come from.
You know, that definitely makes sense. It definitely makes sense where, you know, you have to put the work with your thoughts behind it in order to produce something tangible. I definitely understand that. Brother Zumbi, did you hear the question? Are you available to answer?
Yes, free to land. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. I started my journey in the liberation movement. I guess it's part to me. I've always had an interest to learn more. I'm from a small town in Maryland on the Eastern Shore called Salisbury. And it's kind of really remote and removed from a lot, and we're surrounded by Americans. So it's always wrong to be a part of our people, and I didn't know, you know what I'm saying? It took me going to prison. What really took me being in the Maryland National Guard, and I was listening to Public Enemy. And that's when I really first learned about any kind of resistance movement that our people was involved in. You know, I heard about the civil rights movement and the people who talked about it when I was young, they kind of were like soft to me. So I never really gravitated towards the civil rights movement. They seemed like to be people who acquiesced, and I didn't want to acquiesce. And so once I was sparked by the Public Enemy, I end up getting in, you know what I'm saying, on the victim of the crack epidemic, you know, here in America, and I end up going to prison. While in prison, I was introduced to the Nation of Islam, and from there, that really took me on a journey of learning knowledge itself. And I just went through schools of thought, you know what I mean, through that process, and I just feel like I've becoming a part of the New African Independence Movement is like the logical step in my life right now. I've been on a search in different organizations and different formations for a long time. But I knew they seemed more abstract, you know, they didn't have like a concrete desired goal. And when I got when I hooked up with Baba Khalid and Baba Hamid in Philly, I was a part of an organization called ARAM, African Revolutionary Action Movement. And that's when I hooked up with the New African Liberation Front. And it just sparked my interest. I knew it was something after, you know, I knew it was something else that I was missing. And these are the things, like Baba just said, you seem more tangible, you know what I mean, like land. Like you identify actual land, okay? It's something to actually work towards. It's not abstract. And I've been hooked ever since. When I read the Declaration of Independence, and that blew me away for real. You know what I mean? It's like, yo, we really did this. We really wrote this. And 500 of our people really signed this. And, you know, it looks like it was a real serious thing for me, you know. Yeah, so that's how I came. I've been involved in different organizations that are affiliated to the Iraqi Independence Movement. I was in Atlanta under the African Community Center for Union Self-Determination under Baba Hakima Kenyama, where I was a unity builder, you know, sitting at his feet learning more about our movement and a more in-depth perspective because he was a high official and he was a political prisoner in the RNA 11. So that kind of took me a little deeper into, like, what it really means to be in this movement and to fight for our people's freedom and what it really costs. And I felt like I was willing to pay that price to, you know, take our people from one level of development to the next. And that's what I've been striving to do ever since.
Thank you for that. Thank you for that answer. Everyone, appreciate it. So I want to go back to something Baba Maasai mentioned about the New African Independence Movement and its relationship to being a conscious New African citizen or whatnot. My next question to you all, what is your relationship or what are your thoughts on the New African Independence Movement and where do you see that a goal? What do you feel is a goal of the New African Independence Movement from your own perspective?
Can I say independence? Independence for the New African nation? Land and independence? I'm sorry, I skipped ahead.
Are you fine with
me? Keep going. Keep going. You good?
Yeah, well, that's what it would mean for me. Land and independence. A movement that works towards that. Movement and made up of various New African people and made up of the whole New African nation.
Thank you for that. Who else would like to comment on?
Just one point of clarity, just in case somebody brings this up. A movement made up of people from the New African nation, but the New African nation sometimes is seen as being bigger than just those parts that went independent. Because everyone that makes up the New African nation doesn't necessarily mean that they seek independence in the view of some.
I guess.
We can be, just clarity.
Right. I appreciate that, Bob, because that was actually going to be one of my next questions, but you snipped that one in the bud, but I appreciate that.
Okay.
So, yeah. All right, who would like to speak next?
Hi, this is Brother Zoom. I think the New African Independence Movement is, like I said before, initially I've been part of collectives, maybe like Free Africa, and I'm like, I can get with that. You know what I mean? I believe that. But how tangible is that if we don't have any kind of base or foundation? And I believe wholeheartedly in Malcolm X, we say land is the basis of all independence, and all revolutions are fought for land. And we have to have a real land base in which to fight for, you know what I mean? And I always looked at, okay, if a decision was made right now, how would we move as a people? Could all 50 to 60 million of us go to Africa right now? We would displace a lot of people in Africa. It would be turmoil on the continent. If we all just left and went there now, I think, you know what I mean? I don't think that's feasible. I think it's more feasible for us that's here to establish a base here and we connect all the different African satellites around, you know what I mean, the world. That's how we make one Africa. So I just think the New African Independence Movement is a vital part of that connection to liberating Africa, and it's more tangible for us here. And I think just like when Africans in Jamaica, they have to keep, you know, what they're doing in Jamaica on point if they're going to lend energy to the African, the world, you know, the African world movement. And I just think it's a logical conclusion. If you want, you know, we talk about revolution. I've heard the concept a lot. But, you know, how do you actually do it, and what do you actually want from it? And land is the ultimate goal to set ourselves in a situation up. So that's why I'm a part of the African Independence Movement. And I think that as it evolves, more and more brothers and sisters will see the PGRNA and start using it as it's supposed to be used. You know what I mean? As a real representative of all new African organizations and stuff, and that way it'll have more power behind it as the idea is put forth. So, I yield.
Okay. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, so I'm in perfect alignment. I want to offer up three goals that I think that we should be moving towards as a new African independence movement. And one of them has already been stated, like, we need land. We need our own sovereignty as African folks who've been historically confined to America and had to suffer the oppression that American powers have put us under. We need to be separated from, like Malcolm called them, these devils, you know what I'm saying? But I think the other two, and this comes even before the land, I feel like as far as the new African independence movement, one goal that we should be trying to develop at this time is unity and organization. There's a lot of formations and units that exist under the legacy, not even just the PGRNA, but the legacy of the new African independence movement that are so divorced from each other and practice liberalism in which we speak and condemn each other and gossip about each other. And I feel like that's completely wrong. If we're going to have an enemy that we have to fight against, we can't stand against the enemies of thoughts while at the same time trying to attack each other. That's impossible. There's too many enemies to fight at once. So we need to understand that we all hold a similar goal and be beholden to that goal, and whether or not we have different principles in terms of like the different tendencies that we come under, or we don't like how the other organization moves and who they surround themselves with, we recognize that we have the same goal and we just operate tactically where we can. That's, I think, number two, in addition to the land, which is number one. But I think another thing for us to really begin to question is the trappings of the model of nation-statism, which I feel like that's where Pan-Africanism comes into play. I think that we all, as African groups around the world, fight for national liberation, but is there a possibility that one day the nation-state model will negate itself for something that's even greater? So once we get our national liberation, once we are able to establish our own territory where we have sovereignty, where we have freedom, where we have power, is it a sense that we need to hook up with other folks around the world? And this is what Mario Badelli talked about in Foundations of a Black Nation, are we going to form federations with other countries or nation states in order to withstand the powers of international monopoly capitalism? We know that imperialism is global, and the ways that they oppress peoples is not just America oppressing people or just England or Belgium or France. They oppress folks as a federation. You know, they form monopolies, you know. And so for us to withstand all those different powers coming together to attack a little small territory that we may be able to establish, it may become a day where we have to find a way to link up with our African brothers and sisters around the globe in order to establish a power that cannot be messed with, cannot be assaulted, cannot be destroyed. So the goals that I believe, again, for us is to, one, reorganize ourselves as an independence movement in order to restore trust and love and cooperation. The second goal, of course, is to get our land as a national territory. And the third goal is to begin, after we get that land, to question how we can become even more powerful to be able to retain our freedom and all that we have been able to accomplish in the process of fighting for our national liberation.
All right. Appreciate it. Appreciate that insight, brother. Sister Meta Queen, would you give us your take on that question, please?
Now, like I say, I'm not too familiar with the new African independence movement. I am, like, I'm learning what I'm learning now. So I would agree with it, what everybody has said, because we do need to heal our people, and we need to focus on healing for our people in Freedom Lane. So, and that's globally, because like he said, we're not going to all be able to go back to Africa. So we got to Freedom Lane wherever Africans are, because we contribute to the building of that land, and we deserve it. So, like I said, I'm going to agree with everybody. I'm in the learning process, and I want to get more familiarized with everything so that I can be more versed on it. And I yield.
All right, appreciate that, sister. Yeah, definitely can continue with us, and you'll definitely be able to get a solid foundation about what that means. So thank you. Thank you all for answering those questions for me. So I just have one more question before we open up the line and see if any other callers have any questions for our panel tonight. That question is, from your study and your training, your own information, what would you consider to be the most significant document put forth by the PGRNA, and why do you feel that way? What is the most important document put out by the PGRNA, and why do you feel that way?
Do we have to have one document? Because I feel like a lot of them coincide, because I feel like the New African Creed is the most important. I get a burn in my spirit and my heart every time I say it, and it's wherever I say it. So I feel like the New African Creed, and then I feel like the Code of Umoja and the Administrative Handbook work hand in hand. That's what we studying out of now, and I feel like they work hand in hand. I feel like they are very, very important with our nation built. And I yield.
Okay. Well, one second, sister. If you could you give like a brief information about what those documents are? Like, what do you feel is the significance of the document, or just for those people who may not be familiar with those documents, can you just give a synopsis of what that document is, or what it talks about in that document, so to speak?
Well, with the Code of Emotion, it has our declarations and our different rules of operation. What it means to be a conscious working citizen of the Republic, and information like our election laws, how our ministries and our ministers, supposed to work, and administrative handbook. The most important thing that I'm learning out of that is on how to be a conscious working citizen, what we supposed to be doing, unit study and different things like that. And the New African Creed is our creed, our creed. And I yield.
All right, thank you, sister. All right, who would like to go next?
Go ahead, brother.
Oh, no, go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, I of course, New African Creed, like Sister Queen Melly said, I would like to offer an unofficial document if I can. I think that a really significant work placed forth by a New African in our time, or like at least since we've been in existence as a movement, is James Yaki Seven's Meditation on the Wretched of the Earth by Frantz Fanon. And I think just like the New African Creed, the portion I'm talking about in particular, of course, for those who haven't read it, there's like a combination of essays that he's writing. Some deal with like his meditations on Malcolm X as a person who is a model of self-personal transformation. Some deal with the transformation of a criminal through a revolutionary mentality. And then some deal with like just Kenya, the part that I'm talking about in particular that I think kind of coincides with the New African Creed is when he speaks about the question of race and the question of nationhood and the question of self-determination. And with the New African Creed, I feel like we embody self-determination because we place forth a definition for ourselves that is completely divorced from anything that white folks thought of or conceptualized, whether it was to condemn us or to just determine our destiny. And there's a point where he speaks about even us calling James Yaki Fells places forth that if you're going to say black, take so-called black, but like define yourself outside of the concept of Americanism. Like I feel like there was a time where we supported black power, which was assertive at its time, but the logical advancement from that was to say, okay, we're not just black because like they're white, but we recognize that we're African. Matter of fact, that we're New African because we recognize that we come from sovereign territory. I think that's a really significant work to me because it just embodies the importance and significance of self-definition and self-determination, which is what being a New African to me is all about. Being able to lay off things outside of whoever else ideations on the world. This is who we are. So I place that for us.
All right. Thank you, Brother Deputy Minister. If you would, can you repeat that document one more time for those who may not have heard the specific document you were talking about?
Yeah, that's James Yaki Seven. I believe he was a New African political prisoner, if I'm not mistaken. If I'm mistaken, please somebody correct me. But it's Meditations on Frantz Fanon's Wretched of the Earth. And if y'all know Frantz Fanon, he was a revolutionary from Martinique. He fought in the Algerian Revolution against the French, and he wrote Wretched of the Earth. So those two documents can be had in conversation with each other. That way you can further understand everything that Fanon is talking about because he has a lot of jargon.
All right. Thank you for that, brother. All right, who would like to answer the question, Nick?
Free the land.
Go ahead, Brother Zumbi.
Okay. I think for me, it's two documents. It'd be the Declaration of Independence and the Creed. The Declaration of Independence to me is like that's the foundation, and the Creed is almost like a battery pack. You know what I mean? In the foundation, it's like that's what is gonna make this thing move. You know what I mean? How we live, you know, is gonna be a testament to the documents, the things we state in the Declaration, and the aims of our revolution. I believe the Creed is living. Our lives, you know what I mean, according to the Creed, is how we accomplish the aims of the revolution and our Declaration of Independence. And so those, they coincide with me. I think it's a powerful document. I'm not an intellectual, but I'm kind of, you know what I'm saying? I like studying. I like history. You know, Malcolm said, of all our studies, history is best qualified to reward all research. You know, and I believe that. I think everything that exists has a history. You know, how dedicated are you to find to find its origin and start from that process? The Declaration gives me the opportunity to start from the origin, you know what I mean, of our consolidating the idea. And we haven't realized it yet. We haven't realized our sovereignty or our independence. But we actually consolidate the idea saying this is the direction we want to go. And I think that's very powerful. It's very needed. And especially in a society that we live in today that has so many distractions and there's so many different directions and so many things that people want to do. But none has the kind of focus that the Declaration has and the aims of the Revolution. And I think if we live our lives daily, you know, using the creed as a model that he can actually accomplish the goals or the aims of the revolution.
All right. Just for a point of clarity, when you say the Declaration, are you talking about the Declaration of Independence from 1776 signed by Thomas Jefferson and those people?
By no means am I speaking that. I'm speaking of our Declaration of Independence. That was a meeting called by the Malcolm X Society in 1968. Called a meeting, a government meeting, and they met in Detroit, March 31st, 1968. 500 nationalists from around the country, and representing different organizations. Formations and things that make you came together, and Declaration of Independence, declaring ourselves free and independent of America and its obligations to make us paper citizens, you know, so we basically declared ourselves independent from the American government and American society in general. And that was signed by 100 of those that attended, the 500 that attended, 100 signatures existed on that document. So that's the Declaration I'm speaking of. Our New African Declaration of Independence created in 1968, March 31st.
All right. I appreciate that. I just wanted to make that clear. I appreciate that. All right. Before our last guest responds to the comments, if anyone on the line, if any of the callers has any questions at this time, please press the number 1 so that you can be recognized and you can be put in queue to have your question asked. All right, if you would, please answer the question, Bob. What's up?
Okay, I would have said the creed and the Declaration, but I would have said the creed, and I think that the reasons why they've been given. I mean, I think I would agree with the reasons given for the creed and the Declaration.
Okay, thank you for that, Bob. All right, now it's time to go to any callers that have any questions for our guest. So at this time, 901-292, your line is open for your question. 901-292, your line is open for your question.
Free the land, comrades. Free the land. Thank you. I really enjoyed the show tonight. I was very happy to hear everything. By the way, this is Mama Ayo, citizen worker, PCC rep, first vice president of the PGRNA. It's been a pleasure hearing everyone on the call and just hearing that we are all in what I call in sync with the aspirations of the provisional government, because it's all about heart. Because as Baba Masai, hey, Baba Masai.
Hey, Mama, Vice President.
Yes, it's good to hear your voice and all. Just to know that everybody is on their mission and everybody is doing the best that they can do, given our circumstances and given, you know, the attack on this government, I guess we could call it the liberalism that has crept into every organization, including our own, and our rebuild strategy to come back to, you know, the powerful force and the aggressive force that we once were, to the point where this government was attacked and continues to be monitored. So my question, comrades, I have two. You're working very, very, very hard in the Ministry of Information. We see your good work. We see progress with all the things that is happening within the ministry. My question is, what would you begin to add on to the Ministry of Information? Because given the definition of the Ministry of Information and all, it has a lot of different levels to it. What would be the next step? Because we have an Instagram page, we have a Facebook page, we have a website. All of those things are very, very, very important to propaganda, for propaganda. What would be our next phase within the Ministry of Information? That's my first question. The second question is about all of us being nationalists, pan-Africanists, freedom fighters. What do you feel is the role of the Ministry of Information when we promote reparations for the Republic of New Africa? And once again, comrades, I congratulate you with all the hard work. I can truly tell you that the Ministry of Information has, they've been shining since I've been in this particular nation. I believe that within this administration, the Ministry of Information is doing great jobs. And I yield.
Thank you for that question, Mama Ayo. Who would like to go first? Two questions, rather, Mama Ayo. Who would like to speak first?
That's a question for us to answer?
Say again, Bob.
Was that a question for us to answer?
Yes,
Father.
Okay, we'll see the land. I had a thought on that, because one of the things is, like, that's one of them questions, because it's the ministry, then ideally what we do, we would get back, and that would be something that we go through with the minister. But if we're going to do it like this, one of the things I would suggest is that even though we're doing those things as it has been in the past, then what we should be doing is tightening up what we're doing, not so much doing more, except for one of the areas that's also supposed to be part of the Ministry of Information, and that's with helping to do the fundraising part. But other than that, with what we're doing now, to actually tightening up our understanding of, like, what's happening among New African peoples, tightening up our ways to communicate with others, because we do know it's a very diverse nation, and stepping up the ability to get out information in a consistent manner, which also means coordinating better with the other ministries. That would be a general thing I would say, which is, you know, almost always has been a continuous goal of the Ministry of Information, given that the time that we have.
to tighten up and move forward.
And I know tightening up might be seem like a general thing, so maybe I should say, like, you know, like I said, we're working on developing clarity, terminology within the ministry, and communications with each other and with the other ministries.
Thank you, Bob.
Any administration. I do.
Thank you. The second question on reparations.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh.
Please, go ahead.
But I would say the same thing applies to reparation, maintaining good contact with those folks who are heavily involved in the in reparations work, including some of those folks who are, you know, like working within the U.S. government and just helping to distribute that information to those relevant parts within the provisional government. So we and letting people know, making sure people know that is one of the goals and the objectives, you know, that the provisional government has been involved in.
Thank you, Baba.
Pretty lame.
Who go ahead. I just have two quick offerings. Well, first of all, greetings, Mama Aya. How are you? I'm glad to hear that you are well. Free the land. I think for me, I think I would love to see the Ministry of Information in the respective areas that we are in the country establish institutions that are oriented around what we represent, maybe some freedom schools, like Bob Masai was saying, getting some clarity on the terminology. And then moving forward with that and, like, moving in the areas that we stay in right now and establishing freedom schools where we actually teach our people, specifically the children that's coming up, about the history of our movement and our aims and our goals and our orientation and ultimately what we yearn for. And I feel like that's a great way to advance. Like, we've always seen freedom schools throughout our struggle as a people in this country, and that's always been a great locomotive for us to push forward. On your question of reparations, I think that our role in the reparations movement, like, we know we've had a huge role within ENCOBRA since it's been in existence. I think it's also important that we just in alignment with everything that Bob Masai said, but also we need to, again, draw our line in the sand as the New African Independence Movement and the provisional government of the Republic of New Africa and say what is not the mode or the model of reparations that we support. For example, there is a burgeoning movement online which is taking support among a lot of African people in this country, which is the American Descendants of Enslaved People Movement, ADOS, which is specifically anti-African or anti-anybody that is not somebody that was an enslaved person in the United States of America. I think that that reparation movement in particular and a similar project, we need to not condemn all the people that's inside that, but try to steer it towards being more accepting of the notion that we are an African people. We're not just some folks that were enslaved in America. We came from Africa. We still have relations with our African people on the continent and in the diaspora, and we're still in cooperation with our folks who are across the globe who are African folks. Just steering that narrative of where reparations should go and going back to our origins and really driving home the point of what a reparations project could look like, which back in the day we used to say we need to organize a plebiscite and have folks say whether they want to remain beholden to the U.S., whether they want to repatriate to Africa or to go to another country, or whether they want to carve out their own sovereign territory, which will be the Republic of New Africa, and a reparations package which support all of those different directions in which we wanted to move in as a population in this country. So I think that that's our role as the Ministry of Information in the reparations movement, and I yield there.
Ashe. Thank you. Ashe.
Free the land, brother. leaving with the reparation. I personally believe the PGRNA to be the spearhead of the reparations movement in this country, because I'm under the impression that reparations is nations awarding nations that they have wronged, you know what I mean, or with some kind of resources. And I don't think it's like for individuals and things of that nature. And I think a lot of the different reparations movement in this country are connected to, if they're really not reparations movement, they just use the word. So I think that if we spearheaded the reparations movement, that it would make it more concrete, and it would give it more of the revolutionary edge that it needs, because I don't, you know, and it's a part of our Declaration of Independence. You know, this is one of the things in our Declaration of Independence, you know, and I think that we should actually, you know, this is a very well thought out document, and we should strive to, you know, live up to the document. And if we feel like the document is not at that point, we're supposed to advance it. But I think that we should spearhead the reparations movement. I don't think that we should, I don't know if it could be like, I don't think, I know the New African Independence Movement is a large part of the reparations movement, but I think the PG should spearhead it, if that makes any sense. You know what I mean? Like, I know that we have components in the reparations movement, but I think that as a nation, I think, and as the brother stated, you know, the plebiscite, that has to be something that's connected to our reparations movement. It can't be separate. It has to be like, we have to be working toward the plebiscite to obtain our reparations, or to bring our people up to speed with what reparations is. You know what I mean? And so that's what I'll have to say for reparations movement. As far as what we need to do as a ministry to advance our ministry, I think more youth involvement is how we can do that. Get more young people involved, propagating, you know, our information, the New African Independence Movement, so that the next generation can make it theirs, and it can be a solid part of their life, and not just something they catch on as they get older, but something that they grow into as young people. With that, I yield.
Thank you. So noted. I've taken your recommendations and constructive criticism, and definitely will be taking it back to the PRLC. Ashe, brother.
All right, Free Land. Sister Mary Queen, did you want to give a response to that?
I was thinking, I don't know, because I was, I agree with everybody what they said, but I got right now what we focused on in the ministry, I feel like we're doing, the next step I would see with the ministry probably be a newspaper, because we got to get connected worldwide. I don't know how, but we have to make the connection. We have to keep these connections going. I can't wait to New African Nation Day. We go to South Carolina and be able to connect with some of the people there. But we got to stay. We got to keep our propaganda spread. And right now, what we're doing, like working with the Republic of New Africa, I feel like this is our answer to our liberation. And I'm hoping that we are able to change the mindset from our people, most of our people. We only need a critical mass, because it's not going to be all of us going anyway. All of us not going to want to do it. I want us to be able to connect with the people that are willing and are ready to do the work. And that's the key thing right there, do the work to make this happen. And I yield.
Thank
All
you,
right. Thank you for that. And thank you for your question, Mama Ayo. We really appreciate it. At this time, we have about maybe 18 minutes left in the show. But we do have one caller that has one other question. So we're going to get to this question fairly expeditiously, and then we're going to try to close out the show. So at this time, caller 614-285, your line is open. Caller 614-285, your line is open for your question. And please just keep it to one question so we can try to wrap up the show. Thank you.
This is Elder Mama Kandi. Bure RD, everybody, free land. Since there's not much time left, I'm just going to say that I'm proud of y'all and this ministry and the work that you're doing, the growth that's happening with y'all. I've been with the government since 1968, and I've watched y'all grow, become a part, and I am proud of y'all. Continue to make your mistakes in the light of day so that our people can benefit from those mistakes. That's what Malcolm did, and he set the primary example, the premium example. I have nothing else that I wish to share because of the time limit. I yield.
All right. Thank you for those comments, Mama Kanda. We do appreciate it. So at this time, what we want to do is we want to get everybody on the panel to give their final thoughts. So just give us maybe about 2 or 3 minutes for your final thoughts. Then I'll give my final thoughts, and then we'll have Brother Bomani give his thoughts, and then we'll take the show on out. So where would like to go first with your final thoughts? Please do.
Okay. Free the lane. I'll go first. I want us to continue the great works that we are doing. We'll be glad when we start our PE class. I want to invite everybody to our different broadcasts that we have on our NAVA broadcasted association. We have shows airing on Sunday, Voice of the New Africa from 11:30 a.m. We have the New African Perspectives on Monday at 1 p.m. Central. We have the Foundations of the Nation on Tuesdays at 10 a.m. Central. We have Conversations Between Comrades on Thursdays at 5:30 p.m. Central, and the Truth and Power Corner on Fridays at 5 p.m. And you all can reach us on our novel pages on Facebook, Instagram. And like I said, I appreciate each and every one of you and the good works that you all are doing. I love working with you all, and I want to do more, and I yield.
Pretty land. As far as my final thoughts, I just want to, again, extend my appreciation to everybody on the call. Everybody who is a conscious New African citizen and a worker who is performing the work that needs to be done for us to accomplish our aims as a people. And I would like to also invite people out, again, like we need to find a way to be more in communication, like Baba Masai was saying. And just know where everybody is located. Again, I'm located in Atlanta, Georgia, primarily. I'm from Montgomery, or at least was placed in Montgomery after, our MAFA. And that's where the majority of my work is being done. And one of the hugest things for me is trying to see the struggle be extended into the state of Alabama. I know we have Zasada and Bomani Shakur, who are doing incredible work in Birmingham. But I'm not in Birmingham. When I go to Alabama, I live in Montgomery. I want to see all the states throughout our national territory be inflamed with a spirit and an energy and a fervor of New African pride New African goals and just be in a state of constant struggle and disorder in the sense that the American empire cannot control us and they don't know what to do with us and they have to concede to our demands, which is the demand of nationhood. So if you are ever in Alabama or if you are ever in Atlanta, please reach out to somebody who may have my number or just reach out to me however you can, you know, Brother Bomani, Brother Akin, they know where I'm at. And just link up with me and let's find a way in which we can connect the struggles from where I'm at to where you are located. And I yield there.
Appreciate that, bro.
Free the land, Brother Zumbi. I would like to, my last words are, let's keep going, New Africa. You know, let's keep doing what we do. You know, I mean, we've been here, and we're going to stay here. We're going to keep fighting, you know, and keep pushing and keep building by any and all means necessary. You know, I don't think there's anything that we can't do that we shouldn't do to get through, you know. And information is powerful, but information applied is supreme. So let's put some good information out there and hope people can apply it. And that'll put us where we need to be with that idea. Oh, excuse me. I also want to say, give a shout out to Brother Bomani. He's been real key with me, especially, you know what I'm saying, and with this ministry. I gain a lot from him and from his insight, and I think he's doing an outstanding job in leadership and perspective. How are
you? See the land. Okay, yeah, the Messiah. Yeah, and it's nice being on here with all of you. And I was going to say, well, you know, I guess we can talk about it again, but I would remind folks to be on the lookout for info on New African Nation Day 2023. To check out the website, the blog, and everything that Mama Ayo had mentioned previously. And if there's any way that folks listening think they can contribute to the ministries, I think that would be very beneficial. We look forward to it. And look out, folks, for some information that we want to step up. We want to step up our work around the African political prisoners, POWs, and captured citizens. And if you got any ideas on that and how we can do that, we would appreciate that. You can send it to the Ministry of Info. And with that, I yield.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for being on the call tonight, for giving your input, your thoughts, your ideas. We really do appreciate it. Thank you all for doing your part. And then thank you to callers who called in, for giving your time to listen to us, to speak. And for those who had questions, thank you for those questions. We really do appreciate it. My final thoughts for the evening, I would just like to reiterate that this New African independence movement is not done alone. It needs workers, it needs people to come in and to believe in the movement and to put the work in. So tell a friend to tell a friend. If you believe in the New African independence movement, then there is work to be done. And by all means, feel free to reach out to anyone in the PGRNA by means of social media platforms, our website, and things of that nature. And we look forward to connecting with anyone and everyone so that we can get this work done. With that, I yield to Brother Bomani to take us out for this evening. And again, thank you all. I appreciate it.
I'd like to reiterate some of the...
What do you say, brother?
Yeah, NASA, they're taking place. next month coming up, we're going to have the PCC meet that's going to take place in Mega Airville, a.k.a. Jackson, Mississippi, from November 18th to November 20th. Okay. And then next year in Charleston, South Carolina, we're going to have New African Nation Day. It's taking place from March 31st to April the 2nd. And then also our information, our website is www.pg.rna-rna.com. And we also have a website in regards to our paraphernalia, such as hats and t-shirts and things of that nature, which is newafricanujamaa.com. And then our social media handles are on Twitter, we're the Provisional Girl Republic of New Africa. On Instagram, we're the Provisional Girl Republic of New Africa. On Facebook, we're the Republic of New Africa. And my final thing in regard to say this, everything is that with unity, we can accomplish anything. And all we can build our community up is with unity of our people. And we'll be our nation up with the unity of our people. I'm saying long live the New African Independent Movement, long live the position, and free to land. All right, and that's it. Yes, sir. Salute to all y'all comrades. One love.